control.
Okay, Arnold said in the control room. The Rex is down. He pushed back in his chair and grinned as he lit a final cigarette and crumpled the pack. That did it. The final step in putting the park back in order. Now all they had to do was go out and move it.
Son of a bitch, Muldoon said, looking at the monitor. I got him after all.
He turned to Gennaro. It just took him an hour to feel it. Henry Wu frowned at the screen.
But he could drown in that position.
He won't drown, Muldoon said. Never seen an animal that was harder to kill.
I think we have to go out and move him, Arnold said.
We will, Muldoon said. He didn't sound enthusiastic.
That's a valuable animal.
I know it's a valuable animal, Muldoon said.
Arnold turned to Gennaro. He couldn't resist a moment of triumph.
I'd point out to you, he said, that the park is now completely back to normal. Whatever Malcolm's mathematical model said was going to happen, we are completely under control again.
Gennaro pointed to the screen behind Arnold's head and said, What's that? Arnold turned. It was the system status box in the upper corner of the screen. Ordinarily, it was empty. Arnold was surprised to see that it was now blinking yellow. Auxiliary power low. For a moment, he didn't understand. Why should auxiliary power be low? They were running on main power, not auxiliary power. He thought perhaps it was just a routine status check on the auxiliary power, perhaps a check on the fuel tank levels or the battery charge.
Henry, Arnold said to Wu, look at this.
Wu said, Why are you running on auxiliary power?
I'm not, Arnold said.
It looks like you are.
I can't be.
Print the system status log, Wu said.
The log was a record of the system over the last few hours. Arnold pressed a button, and they heard the hum of a printer in the corner. Wu walked over to it. Arnold stared at the screen. The box now turned from flashing yellow to red, and the message now read, Auxiliary power fail. Numbers began to count backward from 20.
What the hell is going on? Arnold said.
Cautiously, Tim moved a few yards out along the muddy path into the sunshine. He peered around the waterfall and saw the Tyrannosaur lying on its side, floating in the pool of water below.
I hope he's dead, Lex said.
Tim could see he wasn't. The dinosaur's chest was still moving, and one forearm twitched in spasms. But something was wrong with him. Then Tim saw the white canister sticking in the back of the head by the indentation of the ear.
He's been shot with a dart, Tim said. Good, Lex said. He practically ate us.
Tim watched the labored breathing. He felt unexpectedly distressed to see the huge animal humbled like this. He didn't want it to die.
It's not his fault, he said. Oh, sure, Lex said. He practically ate us, and it's not his fault.
He's a carnivore. He was just doing what he does.
You wouldn't say that, Lex said, if you were in his stomach right now.
Then the sound of the waterfall changed. From a deafening roar, it became softer, quieter. The thundering sheet of water thinned, became a trickle, and stopped.
Timmy, the waterfall stopped, Lex said.
It was now just dripping like a tap that wasn't completely turned off. The pool at the base of the waterfall was still. They stood near the top in the cave-like indentation filled with machinery, looking down.
Waterfalls aren't supposed to stop, Lex said.
Tim shook his head.
It must be the power. Somebody turned off the power.
Behind them, all the pumps and filters were shutting down one after another, the lights blinking off, and the machinery becoming quiet. And then there was the thunk of a solenoid releasing, and the door marked Maint 04 swung slowly open. Grant stepped out, blinking in the light, and said,
Good work, kids. You got the door open.
We didn't do anything, Lex said.
The power went out, Tim said.
Never mind that, Grant said. Come and see what I've found.